Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy, and being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com. That's CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and
in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Good afternoon. There was a marriage conflict, as is very common today in the modern society, a marriage conflict. There's a real disagreement among the husband and the wife. So the wife made about 8 holy hours of discernment to see if this was God's will. And she came to the conclusion that it was. So she confronted her husband. And this is what her husband would do. They had 8 children, and they would always go to Mass on Sunday, but 5 of the children were younger than 10. So it obviously is going to be somewhat of a struggle to get ready for Mass on Sunday. So for a couple of years, the husband would be in the garage waiting for the kids, and he'd be honking the horn. He'd be honking the horn. So she decided, after a long process of discernment, she approached him and said, "Honey, I have an idea. We can change roles. I would like to go in the garage and honk the horn, and you can be in the house, get the kids ready." How often that seemed to be the case, huh? So the topic I'd like to talk about today is preparation for Advent, rather for Christmas. And the topic is going to be how to improve our prayer life. So that's going to be the topic. What can we do to improve our prayer life? That's why we're here. We're here on this day because we want to improve our prayer life So I'm going to give you some key points so that this will be one of our Advent proposals. Okay, the first is conviction. We have to be convicted, we have to be convinced that prayer is a matter of life and death for us, as well as for our family, as well as for our church, as well as for the world at large. We have to be convicted that prayer is very, very important. Matter of life and death. I've said then on more than one occasion that we can teach you how to pray, but we cannot give you the desire to pray. So I'm going to give you a lot of ideas here, but you have to really beg for a real desire to pray, that the Holy Spirit will infuse in your heart a great longing for prayer. Okay, there's a story from a desert father where this young man wants to become a novice in this religious community, comes up to the father abbot and he says, I'd like to become a religious. I want to become a desert father. I want to dedicate my life to prayer and penance. So the desert father takes him down to the shore and says, okay, do you really want to become a desert father? And he says, yes. So he takes him into the water and he dunks him underneath the water for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute. And finally, he says, the way that you're panting for water is you have to be panting for prayer. You have to beg for that grace. That you have a greater yearning and longing for prayer than that young man was gasping for air to survive. What would happen if that was our conviction at the end of this retreat? I think we'd all do our holy hour, wouldn't we? It wouldn't be so much a happy hour, but it would be a holy hour, right? So conviction. What do the saints say about prayer? St. John Damascene says, prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. You lift your mind and your heart to God, there you are, you're praying. St. Alphonsus says, he says that he who prays well will be saved. He who does not pray will be damned. He who prays little places his salvation in jeopardy. St. Augustine puts it this way. He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? He who prays well is going to live well. He who lives well is going to die well. And he who dies well, all is well, because He has arrived at His principle and foundation. He's arrived at the purpose of His being, which is the salvation of His immortal soul. So I invite all of us, as we embark upon the new church year in a couple hours, all of us to pray for each other and pray for yourself that you will have a firm conviction that your eternal salvation, that of your children, that of the church, that of society at large depends upon one thing. And that depends upon going really deep in your prayer life. You cannot find a saint, a canonized saint, that did not take this seriously. You can't. You're never going to read any saint in the church calendar that did not take this idea seriously. I'm the only person right now in the church that's not in the laity. I'm a priest and religious. But lay people have to pray too. You know, Thomas More was a lay person. Do you know he was a lay person like you people? He got up at about 4 o'clock in the morning and spent a couple of hours in prayer before he started his work as the statesman of England. This is Thomas More. And he's a canonized saint. So hopefully you'll take this seriously. And I think, I mean, you can do a lot of, offer up a lot of proposals. But I think if you take this seriously, this will cover all of them. Okay, second is this. Purify your soul by making a good confession. You've heard this before, but try to make the best confession of your life. One of the reasons why we do have struggles at prayer is because we do not lack that beatitude, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. What does confession do? It purifies the interior window of our soul. Sin besmirches it, it sullies it, it dirties it. It clogs us. Whereas confession frees us, it liberates us. Such that the interior eyes of our soul are able to contemplate God. I think next time you go to confession and you're praying your holy hour, I think you're going to notice a difference. Try to observe that. Your mind is clearer, your affections are more free, your heart is more pure, you're more fervent, you're more focused, your concentration is better. Try it. Try it. Next point is this. One occasion, a young man went up to the famous Trappist monk, Thomas Merton, and he asked him, how can I improve in my prayer life? And he said this, you have to give time. You have to give time. So if you are giving time to your prayer life, okay, in Advent, let's up it a notch, okay? If you're making an hour, okay, why don't you try to do 70 minutes, okay? Give yourself another 10 minutes. If you pray one rosary, maybe you can pray two rosaries. If you come to Mass three times a week, try to come five. If you come to Mass every day, come to Mass 10 minutes early. If after Mass you take off as if your pants were on fire, I don't know if they are, then stay after Mass and spend some time in thanks. If you do not pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy, pray it. If you don't do it at 3 o'clock, find some other time. But this great spiritual master, Merton, I think, said something that's so obvious, it's like the nose on your face that you're looking in the mirror, but sometimes we skip over the obvious. How does any person who takes any serious pursuit improve in it? How do you learn how to become a musician? You gotta practice. How do you learn how to cook? You got to burn the tortillas, okay? You got to practice. How do you learn how to write? You got to write. How do you learn how to throw a curveball? You got to practice it. How do you learn how to speak Spanish or Tagalog or Vietnamese? You got to practice it. That applies to everything. And that has to apply to your prayer life. You have to give time. Teresa of Avila was asked the same question 450 years ago. Someone asked her, Teresa, how can I learn how to pray? She said, by praying. By praying, you learn how to pray. But I see that this is connected to my first point. If you do not have a desire to pray, you're not going to be motivated. So I think you have to beg the Holy Spirit to give you this desire. I really want to pray. And if you want a good biblical verse, Psalm 42. Psalm 42, as the deer yearns for the running streams. So, my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. As that prospect novice was panting for air. So we should be yearning and panting for our prayer time. Not that it's going to be always an emotional high, but you've got to be convicted that it's important. If I were to tell you 3 o'clock in the morning, whoever came and shook my hand, I would give you $1 million. Would you shake my hand? How about 5 million? The brilliant theologian, Jesuit theologian Suarez said he would trade all of the brilliant works that he wrote, and he wrote a lot, for the value of one Hail Mary. One Hail Mary. One Hail Mary prayed with fervor is worth more than all the money in the world. Do you believe it? Not too many people nod their head, huh? But the value of grace is worth more than all the natural goods in the whole universe. So we don't value prayer that much because we don't see God, we don't see the effects of prayer, so the temptation is, well, I'm doing it, but it's nothing that's really happening. That's a very subtle temptation of the devil. I don't see things changing. I'm kind of wasting my time. And some people have even called me a religious fanatic, kind of a nut. Ever happen? You're going overboard, you're over the top. Just calm down and be normal. Be a normal person. You think the saints have ever been challenged to be normal people? They haven't. You're over. So, be convicted. Okay, next is you have to find a place for your prayer. And of course, the best place to pray is in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Many of you may not be able to do that, but maybe you can make the sacrifice and come and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's called the Real Presence. By the way, our church is open at 4:45 in the morning. You're welcome to come. Yep. And if there's too much room, I'll ask Father Larry to buy some more chairs, okay? You can sit on the bench near my confessional, okay? But if that's impossible, find some place where you can be recollected, where there's silence. Okay, the next point is this. Did you know that Teresa of Avila, who's the doctor of prayer, would not allow any woman to enter into the Carmelite order if she couldn't read? Now, how many people here know how to read? Marta? Yeah. Okay, you know how to read? How many people knew how to read 500 years ago? Very few. Well, what was the primary reason why Teresa of Avila made that as a rule? Give you a hint. Is it related to my topic today? Hint, hint, huh? Yeah, I mean, if they could read, there were books in the 15th century. There were good books on prayer, not as many as today. If a woman could get her hands on a good book explaining prayer, that's as good as any good teacher. So, reading on prayer. About a month ago, we had Father Tim Gallagher here. Did any of you go to a seminar? Okay, Father Tim, I remember once sitting at a table and talking with him. And he said when he was a teenager, he prayed like vocal prayers, but he didn't know how to do mental prayer or meditation. And he said that he was either a priest or a teacher suggested that he read Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis Sales. Have you heard that? Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, who's a doctor of the church. How many have read that? I'm surprised. Okay, well, I'm about to say shame on you, okay? Well, okay. There's a book you might ask Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas, not earlier. Maybe one of the elves can bring it to you before time. Okay? Surprise. This is a pretty good group. I'm surprised that so few have read that text. But Father Tim said he must have been 15. Once he read that, he learned how to meditate. He was a teenager. So what it has is it has about 40 different meditations on prayer, examination of conscience, visit to the Blessed Sacrament, the Mass, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angels, the saints, daily examine. And he said by just reading through those chapters, he learned the art of meditation. So being an oblate, And our charism is to try to spread the reading of good literature. Trying to be faithful to my charism, I strongly encourage all of you should have a good book on prayer. Amen? I'm serious about that. You should always have a good book on prayer. And if you find yourself kind of floundering, you find yourself stagnating or stultified or you're paralyzed in your holy hour, then hey, spend a little bit of time reading that book. And that will ignite some ideas. I just finished a 2-year course in Spanish on the joy of the gospel for a group of Hispanics that come at Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. It took me 2 years to get through that. I'm starting another book that's going to take a quarter of a century to finish. You know me the way I, once I take some literary text, you know my style is they go very slowly, no? Guess what the text is going to be? The Catechism of the Catholic Church. Amen? When it came out, me, Father Larry, and Father Al Hall, we spent the whole year preaching on that in our masses. We made photocopies to the people. This was about 1994, 95. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go backwards. Now, have any of you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church? Do you have it? you're very sheepish, huh? Not lambish, but sheepish, huh? So I'm going to go backwards because the Catechism, you got the dogma, morals, sacraments, and the last part is on prayer. I'm going to go backwards and I'm going to explain the part on prayer, which I really believe is one of the greatest masterpieces ever written on prayer is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Amen? You hear me? So if you really want one of the greatest tools ever written on prayer, you can't go beyond that. And if you start to read it, you'll believe I'm not fibbing or lying to you. It's just superb. So following in the line of Teresa of Avila, one of the reasons why we don't pray well is we're not educated in prayer. Hello? That's one of the reasons why. You know, we have to be educated in music and sports and everything else, but very rarely do we take the education in prayer is serious. It's very serious. Very serious. One of the primary reasons why parents have teenage children, young adults that rebel is because the parents did not teach the children to pray well when they were children. Yes. I know it hurts to hear that, but it's true. And if you're a woman of prayer, a man of prayer, you got children, you're going to feel this desire to share the riches of prayer to your children. Amen? A couple of years ago, I traveled to Florida to visit my mom and dad when my dad was still living. And one of their, I think it was 39 grandchildren, came to visit. And it was Mikey. Michael Broom III. And they brought the little tyke in, this chaparito, as they say in Spanish, this little guy. Said he can already pray. That little guy? Nah. He prayed. He's able to pray the whole rosary. 2 years old. You believe me?
Yes.
2 years old. Okay, he turned three a couple of days afterward, but you know, okay. Give me a break. Okay, well, he was two when I arrived, when I left. He was celebrating his birthday, no? But even a three-year-old child praying the rosary, I know what you're thinking. He must have a very holy and intelligent uncle. Who's that, no? But let me tell you this, on a personal note, I think all of us have to, when we pray, we have to thank God. Thanksgiving is important. I think all of you have great graces, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And be thankful, you have a lot of great graces. The fact that you're here, spending the whole day in prayer, in preparation for Advent, that, in and of itself, that's a huge grace. You ever think about that? People are out, you know, partying, getting drunk, getting high, and, you know, they're doing that. Here you are, spending the whole day with your hearts open to God's grace, right? So be humbly thankful that you're here. But, you know, I believe one of the greatest graces I've ever had is, even as a child, I like to pray. I've never met a child come up to me. I'm a priest for 32 years. Who said, "Father, I really like to pray." And I've met thousands and thousands of people. I read one child, his life is Dominic Savio. He liked to pray. But he died 150 years ago. And I think that's the reason why I'm a priest, is because you're not going to be a good priest if you don't pray. I believe that's a huge grace. When I was 15, I would walk to school there in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And when I was walking to school, I had to walk 2 miles, I would be praying two or three rosaries walking to school, and another couple. So as a teenager, sometimes I'd be praying five rosaries a day. How many teenagers do you know that pray five rosaries a day? After a long day of school, after playing baseball or, you know, cross country, because I'm an athlete, no? And because, you know, I always had the desire to pray. That's huge. That's huge. And I think sometimes people are afraid to enter in the car with me. My missionary team. I'll give you an example. Years ago, my parents came to visit me for my birthday. He said, "Well, son, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I want to get out of Hawaiian Gardens. I want to just leave Hawaiian Gardens for a little free time. Where do you want to go?" "I want to go to the San Diego Zoo." "Why do you want to go there?" "I want to go there to entertain the animals." Okay. They have to be entertained too, right? So on the way coming back, I was with one of the people I know that maybe likes to pray more than I like to pray. And her name is Joan Marie Broom. I don't know if you ever heard of her, no? Who would that be? So my dad was driving. I said, "Hey, Mom, hey, we got, you know, from the zoo to Hawaiian Gardens, you know, without traffic. Make it back in an hour and 45 minutes because my dad was driving." Okay. "Can we pray the rosary?" "Yeah. How about the luminous? Go for it, son." How about the sorrowful? Hey, why not? How about the glorious? Let's go for it. Mom, we still have 10 minutes. How about the chaplain? I love it. Can we pray for the Pope? Of course. And Dad drove into the parking lot. Yeah. And it's beautiful now and then when you meet people that really love to pray. You ever meet one of those? Hopefully that's you. Is that you can't pray too much. Jesus says it's necessary to pray always without giving up hope. Where's that one? Martha, Luke 18:1, right? That was on the tip of your tongue, right? Okay. And Paul says pray constantly. Pray constantly. So reading up on prayer. I know personally if the prayers seem to be declining, if I get a book on prayer, start to read, and it ignites a greater desire. You believe me? So the Catechism of the Catholic Church is probably about the best. An introduction to the devout life of St. Francis de Sales. Now, of course, the greatest writer on prayer is Teresa of Avila. Have you heard of her? No? Okay, Teresa of Avila has written on prayer. What are her masterpieces? La Vida, her life. El Camino de Perfección, the Way of Perfection, which is a treatise on prayer, on the Our Father. And what else? Las Moradas, translated in English as the interior castle. I'll give you one other source. May God rest his soul. He died about 5 years ago. We had him in as a visitor about 22 years ago, Father Thomas Dubé. Have you heard of him? Father Thomas Dubé has written some of the best modern books on prayer. Prayer Primer. Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer. And one of the greatest writings of a combination of Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross called Fire Within. Fire Within, Ignatius Press. Those are all masterpieces on prayer. Do any of you speak Spanish here? Okay, I would suggest that you get La Oración Padre Eliezer Salisman. La Oración, which is Spanish for prayer, by a Father Salisman. An American would read it Salesman. Okay? Okay, let's move on to other points. What happens if you get distractions in prayer? You give up prayer? No. Teresa of Avila calls our mind la loca de la casa. Okay? La loca, the mad woman. You start to pray and you get all these distractions. Okay, two ideas on that. First, is one occasion, St. Bernard was talking with a friend. St. Bernard was on a horse, traveling on the horse, sitting on the saddle, and there was a friend walking next to him. And St. Bernard said, you know, I sometimes get distractions in prayer. St. Bernard, his friend said, I never get distractions. I was a born mystic. I was a born mystic, born contemplative. Bernard says, well, I struggle with distractions. And St. Bernard said to him, I'll tell you what. I'm going to kneel down. I want you to kneel down. If you can pray one Our Father without a distraction, I'll give you my horse. So the man knelt down. He started to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Will you give me the saddle also with the horse? Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church on prayer and distraction, because this is one of the key topics that rises in spiritual direction. And it's probably in the top five things, Father or whoever's directing, I get a lot of distractions. Have you ever gotten distractions? No, I'm like that man in St. Bernard. Okay, the Catechism says the distractions often point out what is our disordered attachment. Okay? I'll repeat that. You have a distraction. Often that is our disordered attachment. So really, what has happened is that disordered attachment that comes to our mind, often it's the Holy Spirit that's bringing that to your mind. Because the Holy Spirit wants you to overcome that disordered attachment. Ever happen, you're praying, you start to think about, what am I going to have for lunch? Mark, they hit the nail on the head. Or you're praying, and you've been married for 25 years, but you're kind of struggling with your marriage. You're thinking about your ex novia Luisito. Your boyfriend you had there in Guadalajara. Oh, where's Luisito? Ooh. You say at the end, and that was a pretty good contemplation. A contemplation to attain love, huh? So distractions. Don't give up. Okay. Next point is, I've got a lot of advice, and I'll talk an hour, but I've got at least material for 2 hours, but I'll just give you as much advice as I can on the all-important topic of prayer. All right. Once a month, I get in my car, it's usually Monday, and I travel to Waverly Boulevard, which is downtown LA, off Los Feliz, and I go there, and I go to a house of prayer. Okay, and I go to the house of prayer, and I sit down with another priest, and I have spiritual direction. I probably have more theological training than most of you, okay? And I'm probably older than most of you also, okay? So once a week, once a month, I go to my spiritual director. Okay, do you know what I do the first thing? Okay, he welcomes me, we sit down, and he prays. And I pray with him. And he usually gives about 30 seconds of silence, so both of us can pray in silence. Then he looks at me, okay, what's up? And the first thing I do, I talk I talk about my prayer life, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk. I talk about my prayer life, and then I talk. And he's a great listener. All of you here, you have to do the same thing. Hello? If you do not learn to do that, you're going to stagnate. This is Ignatius. You're coming to a parish with oblates, right? We have Ignatian spirituality, and I'll give you some spirituality of Teresa of Avila, Augustine, but we are formed in the Ignatian mode. Ignace Loyola, there's no way you're gonna hit a plateau. You'll grow, you'll be a good person, and then that's it. You'll stagnate. You'll plateau. So all of you people, you're good people, but you're not good enough. No offense, okay? You're good people, you're not good enough. You have to have some type of periodic spiritual direction. And the higher you climb in your spiritual life, the more subtle is the devil.
Yep.
I repeat, the higher you climb, the more subtle, crafty, wily is the devil. Now, if you don't believe me, let me tell you a story in the life of the Curie of Ars. You've heard of him probably, okay? The Curie of Ars, St. John Maria Vianney. I consider him to be one of the greatest priests that ever lived. Read his life. Okay, that guy spent from 15, 16, 17 hours in the confessional every day. Okay, I was in the confessional this morning 5 hours. I'm kind of tired. I am. It is tiring. But 5 hours is not 15. He did that for almost all of his priesthood. He died in his 70s. He's doing that for a good 30, 35 years at least. Toward the end of his priesthood, he had a thought very much related to this topic. I have read the lives of saints, and the saints pray a lot, and I'm not praying enough. And I know if you don't pray, you're not going to make it. So, I have to leave Ars in the parish, and I have to go off, and I have to end my life as a monk, as a hermit. In other words, I've got to spend time in prayer, in penance, and fasting to weep for my many sins, which, by the way, were very few. His biggest sin was he took a grape once from the vineyard and he put the penny in the wall, but the devil said, the farmer never found that penny. That was his biggest sin. So he lived a life of real innocence. So he got up to leave the parish. And the people dragged him back. Then the thought came again, I gotta pray more. So he got up to leave. People dragged him back. I gotta pray. I have to pray. So he got up. The third time he was walking away, he said, that was the devil that tempted me. Yeah. Now, if the Curie of Ars can be deluded and deceived, what about us pobrecitos? So here, one of the holiest men that ever walked planet Earth was deceived by the devil. And what was the temptation? Was to pray. But apparently, he probably didn't have too much time for spiritual direction. If he were sitting down talking with Ignatius of Loyola, Ignatius probably would have said, you know, God is asking you to make a heroic sacrifice just to nail yourself in the confessional and pray as much as you can. Ignatius would have said that. Amen?
Amen.
So to advance in our spiritual life, we have to have someone to direct us. We have to. What happens if a baseball player, I like baseball analogies, what happens if a baseball player strikes out 5 times, grounds out 10 times, pops out 15 times, and he goes 0 for 30? He's probably going to get benched, huh? But he has to have what is called a batting coach. What happens if a pitcher is being bombed right and left? Hey, you've got to be a pitching coach. If there are batting coaches and pitching coaches, shouldn't we have prayer coaches? Amen? Hitting a baseball is important, but praying is even more important. Okay, next. This next point is taken from the Gospel and is inserted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has placed 2 parables of Jesus Christ as models for what we have to do to pray well. And they're both found in Luke chapter 18. The first parable is the parable of the persistent widow. Remember that? The persistent widow. She goes to this judge. This judge doesn't believe in God or in man. And she's knocking at the door of this judge. And she's knocking. And the judge is trying to get rid of her. She's a nuisance. Get out of here. Keeps knocking. Get out of here. Keeps knocking. Get out of here. Keeps knocking. What does he say? I don't believe in God, I don't believe in man, but if I don't give this woman justice, she's going to end up by doing me violence. Huh? Okay, the message is this. I'll say it. I'll give you the words of Teresa of Avila in Spanish, now translate it in English. Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. ¿Habla español? Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. Very poetic in Spanish, right, Marta? Yeah. We have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. So we're saying in New York, come hell or high water. Okay? A determined determination. Never give it up. Fulton Sheen, your friend Fulton Sheen, he says, who was the first canonized saint? It was the good thief. Why? One didn't pray, the other persevered in prayer. One cursed Jesus. The other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he died a thief because he stole heaven. Amen, huh? Perseverance. The second parable. Jesus gives us the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Pharisee, standing erect, he starts to praise himself. God, I pray a lot. I give alms. I fast twice a week. And I'm not like the rest of humanity. Nor like that guy in the corner. Okay? Whereas a publican standing in the corner, bent over, would not even lift up his eyes. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Which of the two went home justified? Hello? It was the publican. Why? Because he had a humble heart. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says one of the basic reasons why we have problems in prayer is because of our pride. Our overweening pride. You know what pride is? Pride is self-love, is self-importance. Behind me have the image of divine mercy, right? Once St. Faustina said, Lord, I am going to overcome my basic defect. I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to conquer it. At the end of the day, she fell 7 times more. And Jesus appeared to her. Lord, why did I fall 7 times more? And he said, because you relied upon yourself and not on me. Instead of God-reliance, it's self-reliance. Instead of, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's me, myself, and I. We call that the egotistic trinity, huh? We can't rely on ourselves. We have to rely upon God. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So those are two attitudes that we have. One is we have to persevere. We have to hang in there. We have to persevere until the very end. And we have to be humble. If we do not have humility, God leaves us. And that brings us to Mary. Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he looked upon the lowliness or the humility of his handmaid. Mary was so great because she was so humble. She recognized that all the gifts that she had were gifts from God. And that's why she's the greatest woman in the whole world. And she's our model. And that's my last point I'd like to make, is if you want to really grow in your prayer life, if you really want to live a very holy Advent, you want this Christmas for Jesus to be born in your hearts, in your soul, in your mind, in your whole being, make an effort to pray with Mary, and to pray to Mary, and to pray the Most Holy Rosary. If you do that, what happened in John chapter 2, there was a problem, a very serious problem. They ran out of wine. Party was going to be over. They ran out of wine. So what happened? Mary, noticing this problem, said, Jesus, there's no more wine. And then Mary says, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus turned the water into the best quality wine in the house. So if you want to really grow in your prayer life, and that's the whole thrust of this talk, you have to have an ardent desire. So turn to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and beg Mary that you have an ardent desire to pray. He who prays well lives well. He who lives well dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.